look at Christ, when he prayed that the cup be taken away from him, and what the cup really represented. Represented more than we would typically think that cup would represent. Today we're going to kind of pick up with the story. So Christ has been arrested. He's been taken before the Sanhedrin. First they did a trial at night that wasn't really legal. And then they waited till morning and they did a trial again. And then they took Jesus from in front of the Sanhedrin and put him in front of Pilate, who was governing that area. He was in charge of the area from a Roman perspective. He was the one that had the authority from a military, from a political standpoint, to be able to call forth a crucifixion or a punishment from a federal level. Now, Pilate, when Christ came before him, as I read from him this morning in the verses there in Luke, Pilate asked him a few questions. Now, Christ was charged with things that didn't line up with why the Jews wanted him to be crucified to begin with. He was charged with perverting the nation and forbidding them to pay taxes, which Christ didn't speak on taxes with them other than render Caesar to what Caesar's due. But that's what they brought as charges for him in front of Pilate. Now, Pilate asked him some questions, and he didn't find any fault in Jesus. So he turned back to the priest, and the priest said, well, he says that he's king. Now, the Romans, when they took over an area, they would kind of leave the social structure of that area, too, and they kind of supplanted or put up their own structure alongside of it. And that's so that the people wouldn't be as rebellious, because it would somewhat look towards what it looked like before. And it wouldn't be as big of a change for them. And the Jews, they had kings. I mean, we know this from King David, from King Saul, all the way on through to now. And at this time, we have Herod Antipas, who is the king. Now, this is a different Herod from the time of Jesus' birth. When Jesus was born, there was another Herod in power that was Herod Antipas' father or grandfather. They don't give us a lineage to know for sure, but it's one of the two. That called for the decree that all babies of a certain age be found and killed. But this is a different Herod. This is Herod Antipas. He's king of the Jews at this time. So Pilate, when he hears the Sanhedrin say, he says that he's king of the Jews. He sees the chance to be able to push Jesus off, this problem off, to the Jews. So he pushes him off to Herod. And Herod just happened to be in Galilee at that time. So Pilate sent Jesus to Herod. Luke 23, verse 8. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracles done by him. Now, Herod's wanting to see Jesus for a while. Let's go back and let's kind of see how Herod and Jesus' relationship has played throughout here. Let's go back to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 18. This is the first mention of Herod, really, in Luke. Now, Luke being a physician, he had a different view on things than Matthew, Mark, and John. So we actually get some collections of verses from Luke's point of view that you won't find in the other three Gospels. Luke 3, 18. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. Now that's, we're talking about John the Baptist. Now John went out and talked and preached and foretold of Jesus' coming. And he stirred things up. And in verse 19, but Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this above all, that he shut John up in prison. So our first kind of introduction to Herod here from Luke's point of view is Herod has John thrown in jail. And he has John the Baptist thrown in jail because John the Baptist pointed out sin in his life, what Herod had done. Now, what Herod had done is he had taken his brother Philip's wife for his own. John was preaching out against it. So John got thrown in prison. You know, like, kind of the Holy Spirit sometimes works on us through the people around us. When we're doing things that we know we ought not to, that conviction's there, but he talks to those people around us too. Sometimes we don't want to hear it. Now Herod, he was in a position of authority where he could take John and make him go away. So he sent John off to jail. Now he was going to keep him there. That was his intent. If we go back to Mark, we'll pick up with Mark's account of this. Mark chapter 6, verse 14. Now Herod, he likes to hear of people. He heard of John, what John was saying, and threw John in jail. Now he hears of Jesus in Mark 6, 14. Now King Herod heard of him, and that's in capital, so it's Jesus, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Now, Herod hears of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit talks to him again, and he's thinking, this is John risen from the dead. John the Baptist risen from the dead. What happened to John? What did Herod do with John? He meant for him to stay in jail, but something had happened to John. Yeah, he was beheaded. How did that come about? Do you remember? How did he come about? Good answer.
There was a party,
right?
And he gave the daughter anything she wanted, and he said that he wanted to win on the
planet. Right, exactly. Herodias' daughter. Yeah, you got it. So she was dancing for Herod. And he was so moved by her dance. And he had all of his dignitaries there, all of his people he was trying to impress were there at this party. And she danced so well that he said, you know, ask anything of me. I will give you anything up to half of my entire realm. Because it's just how beautifully you dance. I'll give you up to half of it. You ask it, I will give it to you. Now, her mom knew what John the Baptist had said about what was going on between her and Herod. But she made a step up in the world. She went from being a relative of the king to royalty herself through this. And she didn't like what she heard from John. Now, Herod was going to keep John in jail just to keep him quiet. He had that conviction. I've done something wrong. I don't want to hear about it. Right? But that bitterness, Herodias, was there. So she talked with her daughter. And her daughter went before Herod and said, I'd like the head of John the Baptist on the platter. Now, Herod didn't want to do it. But he made that promise in front of everybody else. So he kept his word. And it says that he had great sorrow about this. He felt bad about it. I mean, as he should. So here now, a few months after this, he hears of Jesus Christ. And now he's got that guilt on him from what he'd done to John the Baptist. So now King Herod heard of him, Jesus Christ, for his name had become well known, and he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead. And therefore these powers are at work in him. And others said it's Elijah. And others said it's a prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Ananias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. And I've told you the story of what had happened. You know, Herodias wanted him killed. Herod just wanted him silenced. He feared John. It says, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him laugh. John wasn't with him anymore. So Herod now is excited because Jesus, in his mind, is John come back. And he's excited because he's got all that guilt he's carrying along for what he had done. He listened to what John had to say as long as it didn't convict him too much. Now Jesus started talking out. Against what was going on. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9, verse 7. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him. Here's in capital, so that's Jesus. And he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. You know, he was interested in knowing this John. But Jesus didn't come to him. Because Jesus was sent to the people. If Herod would have came to listen to Jesus, Jesus would have spoken. But Jesus wasn't trying to make a name for himself among the political realms. So he wasn't seeking out counsel of the kings. He was eating with tax collectors and the type of people that everyone else would have shunned. So he didn't go to Herod when Herod called. And it upset Herod. If you go to Luke chapter 13, you see kind of what happens as a result of this. Luke 13:31. Now Jesus had been talking throughout Jerusalem. And the Pharisees were upset about it. And it says in 13:31, on that very day some Pharisees came saying to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Now, they could have been saying that just to scare Jesus away. Hey, you're just turning up too much trouble here in Jerusalem. Let's tell this guy, Herod's hunting down, to kill him. He knows what happened to John the Baptist, so maybe this will work. Maybe we can scare him out. That's one frame of thought. That's one of the arguments that people have on the Bible, whether that's what happened. Could also be Herod was upset with what he was hearing from all of his dignitaries coming up about what Jesus was saying. And maybe Herod did want him dead. But that doesn't quite line up with what I read from you earlier, where he was excited and wanted to meet Jesus. So I kind of inclined towards the other thing, that the Pharisees are saying this to scare Jesus out of town. But regardless of how we look at it, Jesus answers. And he said to them, go tell that fox. Now this is a verse that causes controversy. And we go, why? I mean, we're Americans. We used to be able to speak whatever we want against people in authority, right? But the Bible actually doesn't condone it when it talks to people. Now, the Bible condones prophecy being spoke against leadership. But otherwise, the slaves are to honor the master. So when Jesus says, go tell that fox, it causes controversy. Because now he said something against their ruler, against their king. call them a name. Jesus says, "Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow and the third day. I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey the day tomorrow and the day following it. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem." See, Herod, whether Herod has actually said it or the Pharisees said Herod said it, that he was threatening Jesus. That they're gonna kill you. Jesus says, I have to leave town for another reason anyway. But I'm not gonna die outside of town. Because that's not the prophecy. Prophecy is I'm gonna die here in Jerusalem. I'm gonna be gone. Now Herod can want to kill me all he wants, but he can't kill me outside of Jerusalem. Because that's not the prophecy. Jesus goes on, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you're not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" He says, I have to leave town. You won't see me again in this town until you tell me, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So Jesus departs. Him and his disciples go around the realm and they start to preach in other areas. And they eventually do come back to Jerusalem. Let's go to Luke 19. We have the triumphant re-entry into Jerusalem. 19:37. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if they should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes.'" Jesus had been to Jerusalem preaching. He had spent the time on the streets. And he had to leave there. And he came back. And he knew that he wasn't going to get a chance to talk anymore. He knew what was waiting for him in just a few more days. They had had their chance. Now it's time to fulfill the prophecies. So in Luke 23, where we pick up our story from this morning, verse 8, "Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him." Now we got that in context. Herod wanted to see Jesus from the very beginning of all of this. He had a lot he wanted to talk to Jesus about. He wanted to find out, "Is this John again? Can I get this off my chest?" "I've heard he's done all of these things. He's even sent word to me through the Pharisees. He's casting out demons and healing people." See, Herod's different from Pilate. Pilate didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. He just wanted to get him out of there. Herod wanted to see Jesus. But Jesus had already given Jerusalem a chance. Luke 23:9. Then he, which would be Herod, questioned him, Jesus, with many words. But he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other. Previously, they had been in enmity. You know, Jesus gives us opportunities. He gives us chances day in and day out to get to know him for the right reasons. We get that opportunity this morning. We get that opportunity maybe this afternoon. You got that opportunity weeks ago, years ago. You can't be guaranteed that opportunity tomorrow. You can't be guaranteed that opportunity 2 weeks from now on Easter. I can't guarantee you, you won't fall dead outside these doors, trip on those stairs, and break your neck on the way down. You might say, okay, well, death's what I got to worry about. Not necessarily. Herod didn't have death to worry about, but Herod wasn't given any more opportunities. Christ was right there in front of them, and that time had passed. And we have a lot of people that think I can come to Jesus at any point. Jesus comes to us on his terms. If we don't play by his terms, we lose that opportunity. In John, chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me. Now that has so much meaning to it. It has a direct meaning, and Herod couldn't kill Jesus outside of Jerusalem because Jesus had to come back as per the prophecy and be killed the way he was supposed to be killed. That's one meaning to it. But there's another meaning to it too. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The spiritual meaning of this is Jesus has the power to lay his life down in front of you and say, I give my life in payment of all your sins. Take it. I give it to you now. Take it. And then you have a choice to make. If you choose no, then he has the power to take it back and say, then you're done. You've made that choice. And no matter how much we want to take it back from him later, he has taken it away. Because he has the power to lay it down and take it back up again. We think we have all this time in the world, but we only get that one last time. It's not a video game where you can start it up again and have all your life back. When Christ comes to you that last time, that's it. No matter how much you beg and plead, That's it. And when we look to the back book of Revelations, and we see all of the woes that befall the people that chose no that last time, how they pleaded just to even die, to get the misery over, Jesus took it back. It ain't there for them anymore. Maybe you know someone in your life that God has put in front of you to lay Jesus down before in front of him, to give him that last opportunity. Take it with all seriousness. And maybe this is your last opportunity. Take it as such. Because when Christ picks up his life again, that's it. There's no more chances. And no matter how much you ask him, no matter how much you beg him, just like Herod, to try and get Jesus to say something, nothing. And it might make you so mad that you mock him. It did Herod. He went ahead and put him in a big robe for it. And all of his men mocked him for it. But Christ said nothing because he had taken it back up from him. Don't let that happen to you. We can be excited to see Jesus for the wrong reasons. And walk away with nothing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, there is an expiration date to your call. Give us that sense of urgency, Lord. Not postpone for something we don't even know if it's going to happen the next day or the next day after, that opportunity. But you grab it now. That's the things in Jesus' precious name.